This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. As the year draws to a close and entrepreneurs get ready for the new year and the new things a new year will bring, Jeevan Sadevan, founder of Leverage Lab, brings our focused attention to also look at what needs to end. He calls them necessary endings, and these are the businesses, processes, employees, relationships, and things we need to give up in order to move forward. Jeevan gives 8 key areas of necessary endings for entrepreneurs and everyone else to finish strong in 2021. Good morning, Jeevan.
Morning. Always good to be here.
I tell you, 2 more months before the year ends.
Exactly. Scary.
Okay, because I know today is definitely, November 1st, right? So tell us what exactly you mean by necessary endings.
Okay, so to put it really, really simply, it's simply just the things you need to give up in order to move forward. So here's one of the challenges I've noticed. Sometimes people come up with amazing plans, goals, and everything out there, and then they get out there trying to achieve these things. However, they've got this huge rope pulling them back, and this is actually things that stop you from achieving your goals, and things that ultimately need to end. And it can be bad habits, it can be employees that shouldn't be in your company, it could be processes that are not working, but these are things that need to end, and we need to confront this and end it. So now that we've got 2 months left before the year ends, and if you want to finish strong, you need to be very, very serious about what are those things that we need to end. Once and for all, ending simply means it no longer exists in your life or at your workplace anymore. It doesn't exist. So you've end, and you want to take stock of that. What is it that we got to end? And once you end it, that's it. It's gone. And there's nothing to hold you back, and you can move forward. So all kinds of things. People can end even, say, cigarette smoking or whatever it is you want.
Does it include relatives?
Relatives that annoy you, so you could end associating with them. But this is the thing, so we're going to talk about that as well. So it even includes the people that you don't really want to mix with. So I can tell you, I've had in my 21 years of coaching, I can tell you many times I've had so much success with clients by just getting them to end certain things. It's stunning. For example, just ending bad marketing campaigns that drain your finances. Sometimes business people just get used to doing this. They don't realize how much of the finances could be rechanneled somewhere else. So we're going to look at 8 things. We're going to look at 8 areas that require necessary endings. And of course, there are more than that, but these are the core 8. If you want to finish strong this year as an entrepreneur, these are your core 8. And the last few will be on the personal side as well.
Right. What are some consequences you've seen businesses, business-wise and personally, from not taking stock of necessary endings?
So here's a warning I give people. In every thing you do that's bad or good things you do or bad things you do, here's 2 words you never want to forget: compound effect. That's a compound effect on the things you do. For example, if you go for an evening walk for 30 minutes every day, now you don't see anything happen in the first week or two, but 1 year down the road, that's a compound effect. Your whole health has changed. Let's say, for instance, if you keep hiring people that are not suitable for the job into different jobs in the organization, 1 year down the road, you have an absolute mess that needs to be cleaned up. So there's a compound effect. So the compound effect that kicks in after some time of doing something which you should have ended can be huge. It's not huge in the beginning. For example, not managing your finances. In the beginning, nothing much happens. You lost some money here and there, but down the road, there can be a compound effect.
Right.
Health, finances, relationships, so many things. So that's the warning for everyone who doesn't take necessary endings seriously.
Why is it so hard to end things, and how can someone overcome that difficulty? I'm just thinking emotions come into play.
We're creatures of habit, and that's the real challenge. So human beings are creatures of habit, and sometimes the difficulty in ending something is because you're just so used to it. It's become your status quo. So what I ask people to do is what I call a pattern interrupt. You interrupt your pattern. You break your pattern and you start something new. Just be aware that something new that you start is sometimes difficult. It takes some time to get adjusted to that, to get yourself associated with it. So we're creatures of habit. And sometimes, if you look at it, for instance, let's say cigarette smoking, people tend to smoke when they have a coffee. So it's a creature habit, So we got to understand that sometimes that it's not because you're not a great person or not a disciplined person that you're not ending something. Sometimes it's just in the background. It's a habit. It's just the way you do it. So So be aware that we very easily form habits. And initially, you don't realize it, and over time, it's a strong bond. And it's work. So right. Being aware of that allows you to do it. And I've made it really simple by identifying 8 areas. If you conduct a necessary ending audit in these 8 areas, your business will have an explosive boost forward. So I've made it really simple in that sense.
All right. What's the first one?
Okay, let's go right in. First one, number one, is marketing endings. So these are the endings that need to happen in your marketing strategy. So let's take a look. There are about there's a couple of things here, but let's look at the main 4. So marketing endings, these are the necessary endings that must happen in your marketing. Number one, target markets that no longer serve you. So COVID has changed everything. This whole pandemic in the last 2 years has changed so many kinds of businesses that you now approach, or people you approach, different markets. And you know, you could still be pursuing markets that no longer serve you, and it could be an absolute waste of time and money. So you want to take stock of the target markets you approach and where are the highest concentrations where you go to this market. So make a list of all the different target markets that can bring you huge amounts of prosperity in your business, and also those target markets that you know that no longer serve you, you shouldn't be working with, shouldn't go towards. So that's one marketing ending, target markets that no longer serve you. Here's the second one, more common, campaigns that no longer work. There are a lot of campaigns that no longer work, but businesses are putting money to it in the hopes that it would work. So you want to take a look at it. It may be certain Instagram videos you're doing that doesn't work, and you want to take that to TikTok. TikTok can give you maybe 20,000 more views in with a similar video. And so campaigns that no longer work, this is difficult because many people have gotten very used to many marketing campaigns, and they're so used to it, right. They're hoping it will work.
Right.
But sometimes some campaigns just no longer work for you, and you got to just end it. You got to end it, channel all your resources elsewhere. It can be anything. Now, when I say campaigns, I'm always talking about online and offline. You got to pay attention to offline campaigns, and you got to pay attention to online campaigns. They're both important. For example, like a developer for property, one of the offline campaigns would be roadshows. But you see, when there was during the COVID time, you couldn't have roadshows. So you see, so that changed a lot of the marketing. So you got to look at what's happening and what are the campaigns that no longer work for you, and you got to let it go. So that's number 2. Number 3 for marketing endings is being timid. So being timid versus being bold. Many people, when they do the marketing, they're very timid. They're not really pushing it out there, telling businesses what are the advantages of doing business with you. Why are your products and services superior to your competitors? You want to be very bold. Get out there and get into the minds of all those people, customers and prospects that could do business with you. Get out there and go very strong, go very bold. So in timidness in marketing, in that, I see so many marketing campaigns are generally very timid. They're not being bold. And of course, the last one, which could be possibly one of the worst things that you really want to end for marketing, is infrequent marketing. Sometimes someone puts out some marketing campaigns once or twice a week, and they feel it's sufficient. It's enough. It may not be, and it's too infrequent. You may need to get out there every day. Some people are saying you've got to get out there every few hours. Now you've got to really find a sweet spot here. You've got to take a look. So in marketing, ending, these are some of the 4 things that you want to do. And you want to end this. You want to end pursuing target markets that no longer serve you, in campaigns that don't work, in being timid. And you want to in infrequent marketing. You want to be very frequent in business. It's all about marketing. So you want to really get out there. So that's the first one, marketing endings. And every entrepreneur should take stock of this, take huge stock of it. So that's right. The first one, marketing endings. The second one is sales endings. So what are the things that have got you in where sales are concerned? There are four main things really here that you want to look at. And when it comes to sales ending, these are for businesses with salespeople or businesses that are selling online, selling offline, it doesn't really matter. But these are your sales endings. These are things you want to end where sales is concerned. And the first one is your sales processes. Again, now with this whole work from home environment, the hybrid and all that, processes have changed, sales processes have changed, how you sell, how you diagnose prospects, all that has changed. You may be using outdated processes that no longer bring success to your sales teams. I've seen a lot of sales teams prosper when they change small things in their process. And you'd be surprised how well that actually works. I remember, for example, many years back when I would do a business diagnostic on entrepreneurs. So one of the things that would happen is we do a marketing campaign. Someone would call into the office and then they would get an appointment with one of my coaches.
Right.
Now, the challenge we found was there was out of 10 people, so maybe the show-up rate was only about four or five. So what we did was we introduced something into the sales process. Very simple thing. And that was a two-page questionnaire. So now the person calls in and they get the appointment with the coach, but then they get sent a two-page questionnaire to fill out and they send it back. That in additional commitment by the prospect, just filling up the questionnaire and getting excited about some of the questions they're going to discuss with the coach, brought our show-up rate to 80%. And that was very interesting. You see, so I changed the process. So that's what I'm talking about, you know, in sales endings. You want to end those processes that don't work. So that's number one. Number two, sales tools. They may have certain sales tools that are outdated or pretty useless, PDF sheets that are fact sheets that are very old data in it. You want to change some of those tools. It could be a CRM software that is not working very well. Whatever tools your sales teams have, you might want to take a look at that, take stock of it, and see if they're still relevant and end those tools that don't work. You don't want people using tools that don't work in your company. Third one is, unfortunately, a painful one, salespeople themselves. So do you have salespeople that are in your organization that are not closing any sales, and it's been months since they've closed? So they could just be in the wrong profession. They shouldn't be with you. So, you know, you might want to terminate some salespeople. And the last one, of course, a very big one, is poor coaching. So with many organizations, the sales teams aren't coached to get success. You know, there's no real coaching for the teams. And so they don't know what they're doing wrong or what could work better. It's very poor coaching. So it's very important to get in a coach and work with these teams, you know, get them the success that could get them going. So that's sales endings. So you see, we start with marketing endings and then we've got sales endings.
Right. We're talking about the 8 areas for necessary endings to finish strong in 2021 with Jeevan Sadhu. And stay tuned for the rest after this. BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. I'm here with Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Of course, he joins us the first Monday of the month. It's 2 months before the year ends. We talk about the 8 areas for necessary endings to finish strong in 2021. We went through 2 early on, and which they were marketing endings and sales endings. What's the third one, Jeevan?
Yeah. So the third one is operations endings. Now, operations ending, so this is now the actual operations of the business. Like, for example, if you're a restaurant owner, now here are the actual operations of the restaurant, the cooking of the food, the serving of the food, the kind of menus you design. If you're a manufacturer, it's the actual operations of the manufacturing process. So operations endings is a very, very critical area, is often overlooked. So here again, there are many, many areas, but here are the core three. Number one is policies. What are the policies that need to go? Policies are rules. What are the rules? Now with this whole work from home hybrid that's happening, what are some policies that need to end and new policies put in place to get things moving forward? So policies is one of the first endings you want to look where operations are concerned. Second is procedures,
right?
SOPs, in other words, you know, your standard operating procedures. What are some procedures that need to end? There are a lot of procedures that no longer work. You need to start changing. And you want to see, okay, what are the things that we've got to end, no more, and then introduce new procedures. And the third one is frameworks. Frameworks in the big picture. You know, what's the framework in terms of, let me give you an example. When someone tells me, I had a chat with someone the other day over coffee, and he said, Coach, can you tell me, if you could summarize business in just say a sentence, give me a framework in a sentence to be very, very successful, what would that be? I said, oh, it's easy. All of business is only about 2 things, and that is capture and keep customers. Everything you do is to capture customers and to keep them coming back again and again and again. So everything you build in your companies should be about capturing and keeping customers. So that's the framework that I gave him. He said, wow, I never looked at it like that. I said, yes, that is the entire essence of business. It's about capturing customers and keeping those customers coming back again and again. So I've given him a framework. Now he can go back. And he's really excited. He's redesigning his strategies to capture more customers and to keep his customers coming back, call them up, give them good customer service and all. He's very excited. He's got a framework to work with. So you've got to end those frameworks that are costing your business success. You know, you always got to understand when you do something out there, what's the framework? We all do things. We all have frameworks in everything we do. And like, for example, when you read a book, you have a framework, you know, okay, I read the contents page first, I read the back. There are these eight things you do when you read a book. So that's a framework. Like today we're talking about the eight areas. That's a framework. So frameworks are very, very important. And for operations endings, you want to pay attention to frameworks in all the different parts of your operations and whether you need to end them. So that's number three, operations endings. Now, the next one, number four, is HR endings. Human resources are the big one. So HR endings, this is, again, a really sensitive area as well.
Right.
So HR endings, this is the with regards to staff. We're dealing with staff now. Now, here's the first thing you want to understand. So there are five things to look at in HR endings. Number one is your model. Do we need to end the current business model? For example, most companies, it was all about full-time only staff. But now we have part-time, we have outsource, we have work from home hybrids, we have all kinds of models. You can even have co-working spaces to dump a whole bunch of staff in. They don't even need to be in the office. So, is it time to end your current rigid models? So, this is change. I mean, the work from home hybrids are changing a lot of things. And work from home is the future. You know, it's not even something that's going to die. Even though markets are opening and everyone gets to go back to the office, many organizations have realized that work from home is actually more productive for them and more cost effective as well.
So interesting that you should say that, right? You know, sometimes finding the right talent, you know, you can't insist on a full timer. You know, the right talent might be doing
exactly
other things as well, right?
For example, you hire a telemarketer, they just come in once a week and they may outperform someone working daily. You know, it's insane. Like, I mean, let's look at your own office of BFM. You guys have been doing what? I think it's 50% work from home, 50% on or something like that. And it's worked extremely well, right? So you see, so this is not something we may have considered or even wondered about. So a lot of organizations have realized, hey, hang on a second. This whole work from home hybrid model is really, really working. It's actually even better. And it's extremely cost effective. And it's very good for the psychology of the staff as well. They love it too. And in fact, more people are drawn to working for such organizations even. So this is a whole ending for old models. The old, like, for instance, when I started outsourcing a lot of the processes in my office and my workplace, I suddenly reduced my headcount tremendously because I didn't need it. And that's absolutely amazing. And today you can outsource anything. So that's the first thing, HR endings, your model.
Right. I mean, gone are the days when you have to sit down 8 hours. I mean, it's not a factory.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You know, that's an old.
You're not measured by hourly contribution, right? You're measured by different things because we're not producing. Right. You know, we're not producing a car.
And there are many old school businesses that don't want to let go of that concept. You see, so it's time to end that. You know, to end this rigid models that you don't want to let go because it could be costing your business moving forward. You know, competition can have you for breakfast. So, you know, you really want to wake up to this. So the first thing to end is rigid models. The second thing is inconsistent meetings. Now, I find this to be a very common thing in businesses where sometimes they'll have a meeting and then they don't feel like it, they don't have it. But, you know, people need to get into this one word. So always remember this word. Everyone listening, you've got to remember this one word, rhythm. Everything in life, if you look at it, there's a rhythm to the tides. The tides come in, tides go out. Rhythm to the way the earth moves. There's a rhythm to nature. There's a rhythm to everything. And you want to create a rhythm in your office. Maybe every Monday, 9 o'clock, the meeting starts. It can be on Zoom. The meetings could be, you know, on Zoom, online, offline. It doesn't really matter. But inconsistent meetings have to end. So that's an ending for HR. The third one is ineffective meetings. Some meetings go on for hours. That's why nobody wants to show up. And they're ineffective. Get to the point faster. Your meetings are going longer than 1 hour. Something's wrong. You know, you want to get to the point a lot quicker. So ineffective meetings, you got to end. Number four is poor performance and tolerance of that. HR has got to wake up to this. I mean, poor performance is poor performance. Now, of course, you can train people up and you can reskill them and things like that, which I always advocate. But, you know, you can't tolerate poor performance. So that's got to end. Poor performance has to end in your organization. You've got to be an organization that's highly performing. And of course, the last one in under the HR endings is employment. There are people who should just be terminated, who should leave. I mean, these are people who are, you know, damaging to the organization. Should there be a process to sit down with these people and figure out what is the next step? Should they be transferred to areas where they can work better? Or what is the deal? You know, you that's a HR ending. These are not easy. You know, some of these endings, they're pretty painful as well. And HR always has to deal with a lot of this stuff. So, but you know what? It's an ending that is required for organizations to move forward. So that's HR endings. Number five is finance endings. So finance endings. So number one, collection strategies. Many companies have got all these debts simply because they're very poor collection strategies, or they don't have a collection strategy. And remember, collection is always about two things, relationship and follow-up. It's all about, you want to collect money from someone, it's all about relationship and follow-up. The stronger your relationship, the more guilty they feel about not paying.
Right.
And they'll end up paying. And it's follow-up as well. So collection strategies is a finance ending. Second is lack of ROI thinking. So ROI thinking is something that many, return on investment thinking, many businesses don't look at. When you look at your money, what's the ROI that where you invest? You invest in a staff, what's your return on investment? You invest in computers, you invest in a location, a new office location, what's the ROI? So lack of ROI thinking can cost you a lot of financial troubles. So that's an ending you want. And the other one is lack of HABU, H-A-B-U, what's HABU? That's my term for highest and best use. Lack of the highest and best use mentality. What's the highest and best use of every single thing in your organization? You know, highest and best use of your time, highest and best use of each staff in each position. So, you know, this can make a person more money than anything else. Highest and best use focus. Always think, you know, what's the highest and best use of my Monday? What's the highest and best use of my morning? Some people, you know, the first thing in the morning, they get up, they go to work, they're complaining and gossiping and all that stuff. That's obviously not the highest and best use of your time. So, those are finance endings. The first five are very corporate, very business endings. But now we come to some that overlap business and personal. Number six, habits endings.
Right.
Now, what are the habits that need to end? There are two things here. Number one is corporate habits, and number two, personal habits. What are the habits that need to end? As I mentioned earlier, we're creatures of habit, but a lot of habits are getting in our way. A lot of habits, for example, if you have a late night habit, of staying up late at night and getting up early in the morning, you may be very tired during the day. So what are some corporate habits that we need to stop tolerating? You know, a lot of organizations, they've got this, for example, coming in late to work. Now, many companies do tolerate that, but, you know, should we be tolerating that? So it's a corporate habit we don't really want to tolerate. So what are some corporate habits out there? Make a list, you know. What are these corporate habits that we just have to stop tolerating? And personal habits. What are personal habits that's preventing us from success? And all of us, if you're really honest, we can actually list a few. We can actually list a few, I call them dark habits. Now, these are the dark habits that are preventing your success. I'm sure, Frida, you can think of one or two as well. You know, what are these dark habits that's preventing your success and or slowing down, you know, slowing down the success? It can be watching too much. You know, one of the habits I can tell you, which is it's very frightening here, is this handphone in your hand. You know, the whole social media. If you notice, when you're driving, you'll notice that even people would, when I see a motorbike, for example, stop at the traffic light looking at his handphone. And you know, people are driving, people are just so addicted to their handphones and the social media. And that's quite scary because the average person out there, if you look at it, they're driving with looking at the phone.
Right.
Glancing at it from now and then, and that's like an accident waiting to happen. So that's a dangerous habit. Watching too much TV, dangerous habit. You know, sometimes you could even be hanging out with really useless people, just chatting, empty chats all the time. Once in a while, it's fine, I suppose. But if that's every Friday, you want to wake up, if you're always hanging around with useless people, it's like, that's going to be really difficult. So, these are the things. So you want to make a list. Make a list of habits, corporate habits that need to end, and you'll come up with at least, I'd be surprised, you'd most likely come up with about 8 or 9 things and make a list of the personal habits. Now, this is interesting. Yeah, when I tell people to come up with a list, corporate habits, everybody can list a lot of things. But personal habits, they say, oh, I only have one. I only have two. There is this. Yeah, so I notice when a person makes a list of corporate and personal habits, they come up very easily with corporate habits, but they resist the personal habits list that they need to end because, you know, it's very confronting. And I think if you confront yourself with one of those endings you want to have and personal habits that you want to end, you'll find that you can move forward better and faster. That's number six. Number seven is relationship endings, the big one. Relationship endings. So here, what we're looking at essentially two areas here. So relationship endings. First one is not ranking your clients. You want to end that. So let me explain this. You want to rank all your clients ABCD, all your customers ABCD. So A stands for awesome. These are the awesome raving fans. You absolutely love these people. You want to get more of these. It usually forms about 10 or 20% of your business. B are the basic. These are the basic customers out there. So then you draw a line on A, after A and B, and then you go C and D. C is you can be without. So these are the customers you can be without. You know, they cause a lot of trouble and all that. These are the kinds of customers that you actually can be without. And D is dead. This, you just wish your competitors had them so you could sell them off to your competitors. And these are the ones that you know, not paying cause a lot of trouble and all sorts of things. So you know, you want to end dealing with C's and D's and work more with A's and B's and channel all your resources to the A's and B's. And that's very important for from a business side on relationship endings. On the personal side for relationship endings is not walking away. Now, not walking away from personal relationships that you know you should. These are the toxic relationships. No, very. What are your toxic relationships? What are the personal relationships that you've got to walk away from? Toxic ones. Actually, you've got a lot of those. There's Frida's laughing. So, what are all those toxic relationships? I mean, and you know, sometimes you can't eliminate it completely. You might want to just minimize the time. Yeah, minimize the time. And there could be friends that are extremely negative. One of the challenges I've noticed here is when it comes to sharing your goals, if you share your goals with someone who just doesn't believe in them or in their ability to achieve such goals, they shoot you down. And you may think it doesn't affect you, but it could play on your mind. You know, especially if the person is someone you value. So you want to pay attention to this. You know, with relationship endings, you know, are there people that you should, who are draining you down? You know, you should really start to distance yourself from. And, you know, they just walk away from friendships that you want to just walk away from. I've had a lot of those. You know, I've had to walk away from a lot of friendships and stuff. And, you know, you're always happier when you do that. So relationship endings, very big one. And the last one is focus endings. So what's this? Three things here. Number one is you got to end up having a lack of vision. Many people have no vision for their business, and you got to end that, having a lack of vision for your business. So what's your vision? Not having a vision for the business, just trying to survive day to day, just thinking day to day, you got to end that. Number two, you got to end not having goals for 2022. Some people say, hey, let's see, let's just see what happens, let's see how it goes. Don't do that, you know, then you'll drift. So not having goals for 2022, you want to end that. And the last one is not taking stock of daily, weekly, and monthly focus. What's your monthly focus, daily focus, weekly focus? Not taking stock on your focus, because where focus flows, that's where energy flows. And where focus goes, that's where energy flows. So, you know, what do you focus on? Like if I ask you, say, Frida, today, what's your focus? You know, what's your focus? It could be some, is it problems that you're facing, or is it areas you need to take your department to? So what's the focus? What's the weekly focus? What's the monthly focus? So these are the eight endings that we have. Just quick recap here. They are again: marketing endings number one, sales endings number two, operations endings number three, HR endings number four, finance endings number five, habit endings number six, relationship endings number seven, and focus endings number eight. And okay, these are the eight endings that you can get you flying. Yeah.
Right. So there's eight. Right. Which should the entrepreneur start with first?
Which one should they start with? Actually, the way I've designed it, you could jump right in where you have the biggest problem in. I would say go there first. For example, if you've got major issues in operations, go to operations first. If you really don't know what you want and where you're stuck, maybe go to focus endings. Or if you find that the problem now is you're getting in the wrong customers and right, prospects, marketing, go to marketing endings. And remember this, endings aren't pleasant. Hence, people avoid them. They're just not pleasant. You know, and there are many other endings we didn't touch on, which you probably want to look at for your personal life, like your health endings and things like that. But that's something you can explore. But these are the main eight where entrepreneurs are concerned. And if you end things very well in these areas, you find that you will be very, very successful moving forward as well.
You know, Jeevan, you know, we talk about this now, it's close to the end of the year, right? But how often should we do this exercise? We don't have to wait till end of the year, right?
Yeah, actually, this sort of thing, it's good to do a quarterly, and do like a quarterly preview of your next quarter. Then you can look at necessary endings. I mean, waiting till the end of the year, it's still better to do it than not to do it, but it's better if you can actually do it quarterly. Focus right. on look at the quarter, look at your performance every quarter, and then look at the endings that need to happen as you enter the new quarter. Right. And the thing to remember is that it is an extremely important activity, because sometimes success eludes people simply because of things that were pulling them back rather than things that they can gravitate towards.
So it's a quarterly cleanup in a way.
Yeah, very good. That's a great way to look at it. Quarterly cleanup, exactly.
Okay. Now, Jeevan, it's next month. Of course, you'll be back for the first Monday of next month, right? It's a final month. What will you be talking about?
Well, we know what everyone waits for. And for in December every year, people wait for this, which is my review questions. So since it's 2021, it's 21 questions to review 2021. So everyone's waiting for that one. And I know every year, last year it was 20 questions for 2020. And then who knows, in 2040, I think it'll be 40 questions.
I'm just thinking, I'm still doing this with you in 20 years, you know. It'll be a three-hour show, a three-hour special. Thanks for being with us. I'm speaking to Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Talk about 8 areas for necessary endings to finish strong in 2021. He'll be back again on the first Monday of next month. You've been listening to Enterprise. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.